This is episode 184 on November 3rd, 2016.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
Welcome, Matt. How are you doing, man?
I am fantastic, Joe. How are you?
I am doing better. I listened to a little bit of last week's show just to hear what my voice was doing, and it may not sound better, but I feel better, and it is actually getting better. But
Were you sick last week?
Excuse me. You made me laugh. I was sick when my parents were visiting, and then had the show and was sort of recovering, and then my in-laws flew in, and so we've been just, you know, we've had more family, I want to say, in 2 weeks than we've had in probably the 12 years we've been married. But yeah, just getting over being sick, and you know, the lingering stuff has not been fun, but I'm on the other side, I can say. But
well, that's good.
Yeah,
I don't know. Last week I thought the show sounded fine. I couldn't tell that anything was wrong.
Yeah. So what you been up to this week?
Oh, that's a good question. Today, for instance, after work, I went out and did a little bit of exploring, I guess. After work, I had like an hour to kill, so I did some driving around and went over to this like big creek, and I know like a little two-track road that I think is public. I'm not even really sure, but it's not posted or anything. So I went back there and went along the creek and did some photography, and then took my son to a park near our house, and the sunset was really amping up to be pretty spectacular. So I grabbed a bunch of even though I was at like a park with a playground, there's like an area there where you could kind of make it look like you're in the middle of nowhere. So I was able to get a bunch of shots of the sunset, which I'm really looking forward to editing and posting on Instagram and stuff. And then this past weekend, I think I had mentioned last week that I was going to probably get out over the weekend and do a bunch of photography, and I managed to do that. So I was up near Cleveland, Ohio, and there's a bunch of really nice like metro parks that kind of surround Cleveland. So I went to one of those that has this really nice river flowing through it, and spent most of my time at a spot that has a really nice waterfall. Mark would have loved it. And just kind of went down in there, and you know, the fall colors are pretty much at peak. And I shot both the iPhone and my Sony camera. So anyone that walked by was probably wondering like what the heck I was doing. It looked like I had like some sort of major production going on, because I had like several tripods set up. And
nice.
But I got a whole bunch of pictures that I'm really excited about, and I've been posting those throughout the week on Instagram. So that was a pretty good time. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So trying to cram in as much photography as possible before it gets too dull and gray and brown.
Yeah, when all the leaves go away. Yeah.
Yes.
I have I've been training someone. He's actually taking my old job, and so part of my job is that, you know, I teach him how to do what's called locates. It's call before you dig, and in it we have to take photographs. And so it's always fun when they get their iPhone and they're like, oh, taking pictures. I'm like, yeah, it looks like garbage. I didn't tell it to him. Or, you know, it's not him in particular, but for the most part, they just, you know, aim and take a picture. Well, problem is that you can't see all the fine details without having to make adjustments. And so I've been, you know, showing them how to use an iPhone. And it's fun because I say, oh, look, just press on the screen and it'll lock the auto exposure and the autofocus. And they're like, oh, wow, that's cool. And then I say, then you can drag it up and down and make it lighter, or make it darker. And they're like, oh, wow, does that work with just the regular photo app? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And they're like, oh, that's cool. And so, you know, it's fun to be able to sort of teach these guys how to use the iPhone and get better images. But it's also, you know, fun for me because, you know, I get to do a podcast on this and, you know, and I get to do that type of stuff with my job. So I've been, you know, not so much taking photographs, but instructing and teaching people how to do it this week. So it's been a lot of fun. So
cool.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, taking pictures of holes in the ground sounds like a lot of fun.
it's not a lot of fun, and it's even worse when there's broken stuff in the ground.
Yeah, I'm just messing with you. Now, what you need to do while you're traveling around is be scouting out some like awesome scenery.
Yeah, well, that's what we do too. Is like I'll drive past something. Oh, I want to take a picture of that. And when it's not so busy, I can turn around and go do it. But sometimes I have to make a mental note and say, remember to go back to this spot. So I need to go back to one spot because I passed a house that had a cannon in the front. And so I really need to go take a picture of that cannon.
You do.
Yeah.
You do need to.
Welcome to South Carolina. all right. Well, let's see here. I have an article that I have dug up today. It came out today. And so let me do this real quick.
News team, assemble!
All right. Well, kind of going along the lines of, you know, what does the iPhone do and, you know, how many people know or don't know what the iPhone can do. 9to5 Mac has an article that came out today, and it was done by a man named Ben Lovejoy, and it's an opinion piece, and you know it's talking. Here's the headline. It says, "How long before an iPhone completely replaces standalone cameras?" And we've had this discussion before, and I think other podcasts have had this discussion before. You know, when is the camera that's in our pocket, that's in our phone, that's connected through Wi-Fi or cellular service, when is it going to replace the DSLR and the point-and-shoot? And I think for the most part, it has already replaced the point-and-shoot. But, you know, has it replaced the SLR? So I thought it would be a good article to discuss because we haven't talked about it in a while. But there was a few things that kind of I felt like it was almost like he didn't understand the iPhone and the apps that are available, and so we're pretty much going to discuss it. We're going to sort of answer his question. So the one thing that he mentioned was the iPhone has become the most used camera according to Flickr. Apple had announced that the iPhone has become the world's most popular camera. And they brought up some stats that would sort of back that up. And then they, you know, then he based the question, what is it that those cameras can do that the iPhone can't? And how long before the iPhone is the only camera we'll ever need? And so the first thing he brought up was shallow depth of field. And yeah, normally when you're using an iPhone, it is a very large depth of field. But you can achieve shallow depth of field depending on how close the object is to the camera. Whether it's in macro, you know, a type setting, or you're just up close and either the object is out of focus or it's in focus. Over the years, we've seen a big change in the aperture for the iPhone. And now it's, you can achieve a more shallow, not more shallow, but a shallow depth of field compared to the beginnings of the iPhone. Another thing he brought up was macro shots. And we've been able to do macro shots now for quite a while because, we had tricks like putting a drop of water on the lens to putting a lens that can do macro, like Camera Plus, where you can do a macro setting-ish type thing. And so, you know, we have those few things. So, Matt, what would you say to those two different items?
All right, well, shallow depth of field. I mean, yes, just based on the physics of the iPhone, yeah, a standalone camera, like more specifically like a camera that can zoom, or like an SLR, that is going to have the advantage there, right?
Yeah.
You know, but Apple is doing their part to kind of close that gap, you know, with portrait mode. And of course, you know, we have apps, you know, that you can use to kind of paint in a simulated depth of field effect.
Yeah. And he did mention the portrait mode in the article, but...
Yes, he did. But, you know, there's apps like After Focus and Big Lens and stuff like that, you know, that can, you know, require some work on your part as the photographer or the user. But, you know, you're going to kind of achieve the same thing. And then as far as macro goes, yeah, that kind of left me wondering, like, you know, he says extreme close-up shots. So, you know, I don't know how extreme he's talking about, but his example picture is just like, you know, a picture of somebody's eye.
Yeah,
well, you could easily do that with an iPhone. I mean, you know, you mentioned the water drop on the lens. That, you know, that's going to be hard to take a picture of an eyeball doing that, but you could certainly do other things, you know, where you're pointing the camera straight down at something. Or, you know, accessory lenses, the macro mode in Camera Plus, which like I actually used today a handful of times, is totally awesome. So, you know, yes, the iPhone camera on its own cannot do macro. But
well, neither can a camera body without a lens, but, you know, that's parsing, but go ahead.
yeah, that's parsing a little too much, because that honestly doesn't even make sense, because the iPhone with a lens still can't do.
No, that. But what I'm talking about is that, you know, you typically don't get a macro lens with a camera kit. You know, you have to exchange the lenses. So I view adding lenses to the iPhone as being like exchanging lenses for different reasons.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, That works. Yeah. So, yeah, this one kind of left me scratching my head a little bit. I was thinking, you know, maybe he's unaware of everything that's out there. But honestly, if you're writing an article like this and you come up with this list of things that you think the iPhone can't do, I would think that you'd spend like 2 seconds Googling each of those things, you know, to find, you know, you spend a nanosecond on Google and you'll find out that you could do macro with an iPhone.
Yeah. And you know what? I have to be careful because I always complain about the zealous photographers that come out whenever there's an article. And so I have to kind of say this, is that I'm glad this person wrote the article because it does bring up a conversation. There's the pitchforks and torches that come out in photography whenever there is something sort of controversial. And of course, you know, I can sit here and say, oh yeah, you know, you can't do this with an iPhone. And I guarantee you, we will have somebody contact us on the, either on Facebook or on our website and say, actually you can do this. And, you know, and so we don't know everything. And I don't want to be the person to say that I know everything about photography or iPhone photography. But, you know, it's a good conversation piece because we take for granted that there are people listening to our show that have not heard every single episode we've done. And so when we say, oh, yeah, we can do these things. And they're like, oh, really? I didn't know that. And, you know, we take it for granted. But having a good conversation about these things helps to educate our listeners. And we're not trying to belittle the author. We're just, you know, we're trying to say, wait, you can do some of these things.
Yes. Should we move on?
Yeah, go ahead and take on the next one.
All right, the next item in this article that he kind of offers is something that the iPhone can't do as well as a standalone camera would be long exposure.
Yeah.
And this is another one where it's like, all right, man, like seriously, you got to look in the App Store. Like just a little bit. You know, we have slow shutter cam, which has been mentioned on this podcast. I don't know how many dozens of times,
hundreds of dozens.
And then, what's another one that can do, long exposure? Was it Camera Plus that recently got a long exposure feature?
Yes. Cause Mark was, excited
comparing
about
those
that.
Two. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Now he does offer like blue hour photos as an example, and I wouldn't go so far as to say that the iPhone can't do blue hour photos. So blue hour, for anyone who doesn't know, is like
before or after golden hour.
Yeah, it's basically like after the sunset, but before it's like completely dark.
Yeah.
Right. So there's still some color in the sky, but the sun has set already. The iPhone can certainly capture that. It just might not be as clean of a image as what you might get from like a higher end DSLR or something. It probably will be a noisy picture.
Yeah, and he does mention that in the article, but you know. The first app you mentioned, the slow shutter cam, you know, we have used that on a number of occasions, you know, not only for waterfalls during the day, but I've used it for getting light streaks from cars at night.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
You know, it's a great app that you need to have in your arsenal, and you know, you need to use it. I need to use it more than I have, but yeah. So
yeah. And there are apps too that can battle that noise situation. Like when it's starting to get a little darker out. Like some of the ones that I like are Nightcap Pro.
Yeah.
And Hydra is a good one. And another one called Cortex Cam. All of those apps can basically what they do is they take like a series of pictures and then use math to somehow eliminate the pixels that are noise.
Yeah.
And just gives you a better looking image. You do need to use a tripod, you know, to use those apps, just like you do with slow shutter cam, if you want to get, you know, the most pleasing result out of those apps. But the tools are there. So far we're what? We're 0 for 3.
Yeah.
Or well, 3 for 3, one, I guess.
Yeah. The next one, which is sort of in the same vein, he's talking about a long exposure when it comes to movement, like during the day, panning shots. So one of the first things that I learned in photography when I took it in college was following through, doing a panning shot and getting motion while your subject, say for me, it was a car going down the street. You focus in on the car as it's going by, and at some point you release the shutter to capture the image while following through. And what that does is it keeps the car in crisp view while everything around it is blurred, is in motion. And he says that, you know, the iPhone can't do that. And I'm like, actually it can, because the iPhone is uses a much slower shutter rate than I would normally with a DSLR, and you can introduce a lot of motion into the image. Could I set it up to where I get less motion? Sure, by locking the aperture. And so, yeah, let me rephrase that. I can eliminate a lot of the motion by taking the thought process away from the iPhone. And I say that in a way that the iPhone has to do two things when you take a picture. It has to measure the amount of light, and it has to capture the image. When you set the three things. It has to focus, set the exposure, and then capture the image. When you lock the autofocus and the auto exposure, you then leave the camera with only one thing it needs to do, and that's to capture the image. It doesn't have to think of the other two and what's in focus, what's not in focus. Is this the correct exposure or is this not the correct exposure? And you're able to speed up the time it takes to capture the image. So I have to kind of disagree with him that you can get motion with a panning shot. Because I've done it before. I've done it in my living room with my son doing circles around me. And it's pretty cool. It's like I was amazed when I first did it to say, wow, I used to do this in college with a film camera. And now I'm doing it with my iPhone. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, if this guy wants, I have like an example that's along the lines of his example of a people on a motorcycle, except in my opinion, my shot's way better. In any case, I can send him that. I did it with an iPhone, and there was no apps involved other than converting it to black and white. But beyond that, the blur effect is 100% the camera. And I would argue, now it's probably even easier to achieve a panning effect with an iPhone. When I did mine, we didn't have manual control yet. That was still iOS 7 or 8. I think eight we had manual control. In any case, we didn't have manual control when I did my panning shot. But now, you know, you can dial in a slower shutter speed, you know, like a quarter second or a 15th of a second or something like that, you know, to get that panning motion or to get the blur when you pan. It's much easier now than it was.
Yeah. So, you know, I hate to sound like I'm, you know, parsing everything that he says, but I thought it was a good article to let people know, actually, you can do these things. And I hope that the author will look into it, because I think he's underutilizing his iPhone, which I'm assuming he has, because that's in particular the camera that he was talking about. It's a great tool. I was telling somebody today that, you know, if it wasn't for the iPhone, I think I would have set photography aside for a while and then came back to it, because I've mentioned this before. I think I hit a creative, I had creative block at one point where I set my DSLR down and was not interested in taking photos anymore because I wasn't being challenged. And, you know, you could say, oh, well, why didn't you do this or why didn't you do that? It's just that at that time in my life, I needed a challenge. And to me, the iPhone was that challenge. I had, before getting an iPhone, I was thinking of taking, you know, creating a challenge for myself by picking up a 3-megapixel point and shoot. Nothing fancy, but something that was constricted, that didn't have all the bells and whistles my DSLR had, and making it a challenge for me to get the best images with whatever was in my hand. And when the iPhone, when I first got my iPhone, I had the 3GS. I had shown my boss some of the images that I was taking because I was slowly seeing what it could do. And it's not so much the device that's in your hand as much as it's the person that is operating the device. Because one of the ladies from the office walked in and he goes, oh, don't you have the same iPhone Joe has? And she goes, yes. And he goes, how do you like the pictures? And she goes, they're terrible. And I showed her mine and she was blown away. Mainly because she had it in her head that the images that she was taking were not coming out, were terrible, were nothing like what she had probably gotten with another device, and had said, you know what, this thing takes terrible pictures. But when she saw mine, she was blown away. She couldn't believe it. And so it's not so much, you know, which device, devices can make it easier or harder. It's the person that's holding the device, the person that is thinking of what they want to capture, the person who is taking the time to explore the different options the device will have, and having a good composition and a good subject will make a photograph. You know, pointing something out the window as you're driving by, not even looking, are you able to get something really good? Most likely 99% of the time, no. Could you get something good? Sure. You know, I'm surprised at half the photos I take. But when you're taking the time to research your subject, when you take the time to understand your device, when you take the time to study what makes a great photograph, it doesn't matter what's in your hand. And there are a bunch of tools that can help you achieve that goal. So I thought this was a good article.
Well, I guess at least somebody did.
Excuse me.
I just want to go back to the beginning here and answer the question.
Sure.
I know you did, but I didn't get to. I just want to say my thoughts on it here. So I would say, oh, geez. See, his little question here, by using the words standalone cameras,
yeah,
makes the answer more complicated, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about point-and-shoot cameras, then the answer is the iPhone has already replaced.
Yes.
You know, it's already replaced those. And the reason for this is that it kind of – all right, so it kind of just depends on the person and the camera that they're using. So I think, yes, the iPhone has already replaced point-and-shoot cameras, but the iPhone may never replace a DSLR or a mirrorless camera.
Right.
And I think there's several reasons for that. One is I think it'll take a while for for Apple or really any cell phone manufacturer to kind of figure out how to make a camera phone more like a DSLR.
Yeah.
Even more so than it is now. And I think we always forget when we're talking about this stuff that, yeah, we have these technological advancements and these leaps, you know, like seemingly every year in what the iPhone can do. And while the technology seems to progress a little bit more slowly in DSLRs, it's not like it's not progressing. So DSLRs and mirrorless cameras in particular are going to also continue to get better.
That's
just
correct.
Like the phones are going to get better. So the phones, in my opinion, are always going to be behind like the professional cameras.
Yes.
So there's always going to be a need and a reason to use a quote-unquote professional camera, a DSLR, a high-end mirrorless camera. So I don't think the iPhone's ever going to completely replace standalone cameras. And honestly, I hope it never does, because like, as someone that loves photography, I don't just love iPhone photography. I love photography. So if there's nothing but the iPhone, that's boring. That's no fun.
Yeah.
You know, like I mentioned, you know, at the beginning of the show, you know, I was out with my Sony camera and my iPhone. And the reason for that is that I get different results from each one of those. Mm-hmm. And I thoroughly enjoy shooting with both of them.
Absolutely.
You know, granted, nowadays I do take a lot more pictures with my iPhone, and that is because I have it on me all the time. I just, you know, my Sony camera, it's a mirrorless camera. It is relatively small, but I just don't feel like having that like in my car or on my person all the time.
Right.
You know, I'm just not comfortable with that. So when there's specific things that I want to photograph, like there was this weekend, I knew I'm going to go to this spot and it's a waterfall and there's nice, rapid-y kind of areas in this river and fall colors, and I want to get some really nice shots. Yeah, I'm going to take my 24 megapixel Sony camera,
yeah,
you know, and get some really, you know, killer shots, like something that, you know, I'm probably going to want to print big and hang on the wall. But I also, want to see what can I do with my iPhone. And I, so I like to shoot them both. And I hope that there's never a time when, I'm just like, these other cameras I have, this is just ridiculous because the iPhone can do everything.
Yeah, I have. So, we've seen. Was it Sony that tried to produce a smartphone lens that would that was the sensor and the lens, but it would just transfer the images to the phones?
Yeah, that was with the Q something.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen stuff like that. They're trying to find ways of making the iPhone into a DSLR, but when it comes down to it, I'm not carrying any of that stuff with me.
I still think that idea is awesome. I'm not necessarily in love with the Sony stuff, but like that DxO1, that little like 20 megapixel add-on that plugs into the Lightning adapter of the iPhone, that thing, I just think that thing is so awesome, and I wish someone would buy me one like right now.
Well, I said this years ago, I would love to be able to slide my iPhone into my DSLR and be able to capture the images with my DSLR, but have the connectivity to add things to the web, to email or text images. And we're slowly getting there. I mean, I bought my wife bought me my Canon 6D that has the Wi-Fi capability in it. And I'm slowly getting there to where I can take images off of my camera through Wi-Fi, or I can see through the lens and capture the images through Wi-Fi. It's just that I have two separate devices, but it's slowly going to eventually, I think, get to that point where our DSLRs will be able to communicate with our iPhones or Androids or the, well, I was going to say Microsoft's, but that's always been a running joke. But,
they might come back.
Yeah. but we're slowly getting to that point. But the glass that the big camera companies are making are still far superior in clarity and function than the iPhone. And we're still a long ways off from that. But at the same time, the iPhone is doing a lot more than we ever thought it would do. And we're still in those days of discovery, which is it's harder to have, things that will come up that we're unable to do that we're able to do now, because most of it has been achieved. But, as far as I know, iPhones still can't do sports photography like a DSLR can. Even the guy who I was training, he says he wants to be able to video during, when he's hunting. And he says, I want to be able to get things that are, 100 yards away. And I'm like, yeah, I think you need a bigger lens. And, because it doesn't have the capabilities that the DSLR cameras can do with the bigger lenses. So there's still limitations, but at the same time, I think this guy is just scratching the surface on what the iPhone can do.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Well, is there anything else you wanted to mention about this?
No, I think we can move on.
All right, let's go ahead and do this.
Post Perfect of the Week.
All right, our last weekly photo challenge was spooky. We had Halloween, and so that was a good opportunity to kind of do something according to the season. And it is Matt's turn to pick our post pick of the week. So go ahead and take care of that, Matt.
All right. So this was a challenge for me because I'm not real big on Halloween. I know that makes me sound like a super duper party pooper, but I've just really never been a fan of Halloween stuff.
You're in good company.
Okay. Well, in any case, we definitely had our fair share of spooky pictures here. You know, it looks like a handful of you guys had dressed up or had spooky decorations. There was some cemeteries in there and, you know, pumpkins and things of that nature. And I tried to get into it, too. I posted a picture in there where I took a picture that I took in downtown Cleveland earlier this summer, basically of one of the tall buildings downtown. But I'm kind of I'm standing relatively close to the building, looking sort of just straight up at it. And there was some sort of stormy looking clouds. So I basically heavily manipulated the picture, added lightning and birds and gave it some filter treatments to make it look like it was something out of the first Ghostbusters movie or something.
Yeah.
And then wrote Happy Halloween on it and called it good. but definitely there's definitely other people that put more effort into it than I did. So looking through, my favorite shot, the one that really just kind of gave me not really the creeps, but it kind of made me pause and look at it and think about it in more think about it in terms of what if this was real? You know, this would be horrible. It'd be spooky. It'd be creepy. It's a shot from Mark Staben, and it's a picture of a cat skeleton, and it's on the, I don't know what you'd call it, but basically in the back window of a car.
Yeah.
You know, that little flat area, right behind the back seats there. That
would it be like a headboard or something like that?
The what?
Like a headboard or...
Yeah, something like that. So the thing that I don't know how to phrase this because I don't want anyone to think that I don't like cats, which isn't true. I like cats and I like animals and everything. But the thing that I like about this picture is that this could be real. It's hard to tell from the picture if it's it's probably not a real cat skeleton, but it sure looks like a real cat skeleton. The picture is black and white, and it's super grainy. It's got a really heavy vignette on it. And the only thing that really even gives away the fact that it's a car window is you could see the little defroster lines, you know, in the window. But it is whoa, how long was that cat trapped in that car? You know, and
in the scared position.
Yeah, I mean, it is standing up or whatever, but it's I just think it's cool. It's really creative and it's different, and the treatment definitely adds to, you know, kind of the spooky, eerie feeling of the picture. I like it.
Yeah, I like the contrast. It's a very good mix of contrast and, like you said, vignette. And then there's some blur on the edges, which also helps with the spooky effect. So, yeah, good job, Mark. Congratulations on being post pick of the week. If you want to be selected as post pick of the week, be sure to go on Facebook and look for our weekly photo challenge. We do one at least once a week, and sometimes, like this one, we've done it for 2 weeks. Participate. Add your image to the collection, and you'll be surprised at what you find when you're in there. You'll see some very awesome images. You'll have some good ideas, and you know, who knows? We may pick you. And we use the image for our album art and for our Facebook cover photo, and so it's a way to be able to show off our listeners' creative skills and their photography abilities, and it's a lot of fun. So be sure to participate. All right, we need a weekly photo challenge for this week. So do you guys have any ideas? And I'm talking to the chat room also. Oh.
It's like there's only one of me at the
moment. You know, I was thinking of probably doing like a free for all, but you know, that's, I think we've tried those before, and you know, it's kind of sketchy. Not sketchy like the people are sketchy, but you know, it doesn't seem to be as challenging. Greg says decisive moment.
We've been getting that one suggested a lot.
Yeah. Dave says shades of orange. Bill says low light. I think we did something with low light.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, Greg says, yeah, I've been the one saying decisive moment. well, okay, what would constitute a decisive moment? When any click of the shutter be a decisive moment?
Pretty much. But I think what he means is where it's like a fraction of a second later, and that moment would be completely gone. Or if it was a fraction of a second sooner, you wouldn't have like the tension that you're experiencing looking at the image as it is now.
Yeah. Then he also says bokeh. Bokeh. What are your thoughts, Matt?
Oh, my mind is blank. It's like a whiteboard at the moment, an empty whiteboard.
Woohoo! Well, let's go ahead and do decisive moments.
All righty.
I'll make that decision. Let's see here. All right. Boop. Sorry, I had to cough. So we're going to do decisive moment as our weekly photo challenge. And, do go on to Facebook and join us there. We've had a number of people within the last few weeks join us. It's been amazing. And participate. All right. Well, Matt, do you have anything else that you wanted to talk about?
Not this week.
All right, let's do this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Oh, speaking of, congratulations to the Cubs. Yeah, Bill Murray is a fun person to have on our show.
Barely.
And so it was fun to see him get excited about the Cubs winning the World Series. I'm sorry for the Cleveland fans, you know, but, it happens. There's always next year. Just look at the Royals. They lost to the Giants and then came back the next year and won. So there's hope for Cleveland.
yeah. Well, it was exciting to, I live relatively close. So, it was not hard to get all caught up in it and everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not really a baseball fan. I'm nothing really against baseball other than the fact that I think it's a very boring sport.
Oh.
But it's extremely boring, Joe. Extremely boring. However, I do like going to games. It really should just be banned from TV. I think that's really what my issue is.
Oh, I agree. See, I'm a radio guy. I love listening to it on the radio.
Also extremely boring. But I was rooting for them, and I didn't watch it, but I did follow the game online until the very end last night, so I am tired
tonight. Yeah. I was asleep. I had to work.
I did too, but you know, it's Cleveland.
Yeah.
The hometown team. It was important.
Oh, well, cool. All right. Well, Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right, guys. You can check me out on Twitter. I am, and most importantly, Instagram at mhoffmanphoto.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show notes, all the links to the apps we talk about, articles, by going to tinyshutter.com. All right. I think we have ourselves a show. All right, Matt, why don't you say goodnight to everybody?
All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
I can't. I'm totally paralyzed. I'm all locked up.